Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Talk Live, and you can join the show. We're kicking off the third hour here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. And it's Ian and Bonnie with you here tonight. Unfortunately, the story that I found about Javier Milei, the libertarian presidential candidate in Argentina, and his opinion in regards to BRICS accepting Argentina as one of its six new members is on Bloomberg, and they are highly restrictive as far as their paywall is concerned. And I have not been able to get on Archive Today for some time, or archive.ph. I was told by somebody that they're still online, but I have not been able to access that site. So I don't know if that means that my internet service provider is blocking it, although I have two ISPs. So I can't get past the paywall, but the introductory paragraph says that he would never tell business owners, private businesses, who they can trade with. So if you want to trade with China, trade with China. But it does sound
like...
That's
nice, because last night Trump was saying, like, I would tariff people importing goods into this country, blah, blah, blah. We need to have our own factories. And it was really gross.
Right. And apparently Milei is saying that he will only have alliances with, quote unquote, nations that defend liberty, peace, and free trade. Which, of course, those nations don't exist anywhere on the planet. So maybe they won't have any alliances. Some people have said he's going to ally himself with Israel and the United States, which would not be nations that believe in free trade or peace.
Right. He did say something pro-Israel. I forget what he even said now. But he also is considering, like, putting an embassy in Israel. I don't know, something like that. Maybe they already have an embassy, but another one. I don't know, something like that.
Yeah, there seems to be this love for Israel's government, which I just don't understand. It's very, very popular on both the Republicans and the Democrats. I would hope that a principled libertarian individual, and this guy seems pretty principled, I would hope that somebody like him would see through the fact that this Israel is obviously a murderous group of people, just like any government all around the planet. What it is that people think they're going to benefit from in regards to Israel, I just, beyond the whole, like, religious end of times thing.
I think it's for votes, because of the fact that, there are so many Christians who believe that if you don't do everything you possibly can to appease Israel, then your country will be cursed. I mean, that's, I don't know if it's in that many words in the Bible, but there's an idea in the Bible that people who aren't good to Israel will be cursed.
I don't know how many Argentinians are Catholic or Christian. I suspect a large number of them are.
Catholic.
I know that's true. Yeah, I know it's true in Mexico. There's a lot of Catholics there. Obviously, Argentina is not Mexico. It's a completely different part of the world. So if you want to comment, though, you're welcome to join us here. The number.
He might be Jewish, too.
Milei?
I don't know.
You might be right. 603-283-6160. That is the number. You can bring up anything you want. In other news, you're certainly welcome to comment on BRICS or secession, which are two things we've been talking about. But in other really bad news, Tornado Cash is once again being targeted by the federal government thugs, with two of its programmers being charged criminally with quote-unquote money laundering.
And what exactly is Tornado Cash?
Thanks for asking. Very important question. I've never used it, so I can't say that I have any experience with it, but certainly the idea of a Bitcoin mixer, or in this case, an Ethereum mixer. Ethereum, for listeners that don't know, is the number two largest cryptocurrency by value.
Volume?
I don't know if it's trade. No, probably not necessarily. It might be trading volume, but by market cap, as they call it, which is the value of all of the currency combined together. That is Ethereum. It is a big thing, right? Bitcoin's big. Ethereum also pretty big. And so somebody, these programmers, two men named Roman Storm and Roman Semenov, are facing allegations of money laundering and sanctions violations. One of them is currently in custody by the so-called Department of Justice.
In the United States, right?
I presume so.
I don't know why I thought this happened outside.
I think the other guy is outside of the United States. Mm. Otherwise, they would have snatched him up, too, probably at the same time. But Tornado Cash is a mixing protocol. It is a protocol because it is a contract. It's a contract, I think. It is a what they call in the world of cryptocurrency a smart contract. So these guys and maybe some other people, I don't know who all the programmers were, but some group of people wrote this code that they then put out there onto the internet. And once they put it out there, they destroyed all of their administrative keys to the code. So, as I understand it, this code is like set in stone. It cannot even be changed. So, if there was a bug that was in this code, they'd probably have to copy the code, change the fix the bug, and then re-release it as a new thing. But the current code is they remove their admin keys. They're no longer in charge of this thing. They did program it, but they're not running it. So one of the reasons why Tornado Cash, as I understand it, is different from your typical Bitcoin mixer is that a Bitcoin mixer, you have to have like hardware somewhere in a rack, in a computer rack, that is running this particular Bitcoin mixing software, and that's traceable, right? Like, you can figure out where that computer is, where the computer server rack is, and you can go after it with a group of thugs from the so-called Department of Justice. With Ethereum, there is no central computer. See, that's one of the things a lot of people don't understand about Ethereum. Ethereum is not a cryptocurrency in the sort of traditional sense, not like Dash or Bitcoin Cash or something like that. Yeah, you could use Ethereum to, send somebody some value. But the main thing Ethereum is used for is its smart contracting ability. And what is done with the smart contracts is when you have a smart contract that's written and you want it to launch, you want it to be in effect, I don't know how exactly you do it, but somehow you put it onto the Ethereum blockchain. And then anybody that wants to can interact with that contract. The contract may have bugs in it. As we've seen, there are these DeFi, as they call it, decentralized finance systems that have been hacked. You might have heard about these on occasion, like such and such lost $600 million.
In Terra.
What's that?
Terra.
No, that wasn't Ethereum.
Oh.
But that was a different cryptocurrency platform.
DeFi thing that got...
It was a DeFi thing, and it did get screwed hacked. Over. I wouldn't call it hacked. It was just...
Attacked
in some way. So Ethereum... And there's a lot of sort of Ethereum wannabes and Ethereum quote-unquote killers. There's a bunch of other things out there that can sort of do the same thing that Ethereum does, which is this smart contract thing. But the thing that you need to really understand about Ethereum, and again, I don't want to go too far off into the weeds, so please stop me if I'm not making any sense. But the thing that really separates Ethereum from Bitcoin or other, cryptocurrencies, is that it can run these smart contracts. The way it runs, quote-unquote, a smart contract, is you pay it to run the smart contract. So whenever you're doing something on Ethereum, whether it's sending somebody some Ethereum or it's operating one of these smart contracts, it costs, quote-unquote, gas. That's the terminology. It's a fee that you have to pay. And the more complicated the smart contract is, the more it costs to run. And so what's happening when Ethereum is running these smart contracts, it's not running on some guy's computer. It's not running on your computer. It's not running on a server somewhere out there on the internet. It's literally the entire blockchain, the thousands of computers. I don't know how many thousands of computers are running the Ethereum full nodes out there running.
Is it possible to know?
Yeah, there's probably some chart or something like that. I've never looked at it, so I just don't know what it is. Like Bitcoin, it's like somewhere between 10 and 20,000.
Wow, that's so few. That I would running, have thought it was more.
That are running the full node software. Yeah, I mean,
More people are mining on top of that, you're saying?
I don't know how many people are mining.
Well,
I don't know.
I'm saying that's a number that's more than just the running a full node.
I honestly have no idea.
Do you have to run a full node to mine?
Yes.
Oh.
So the number of miners may be smaller than full nodes. Anyway, so when the smart contract is quote-unquote running, it's running literally on thousands of nodes simultaneously on the internet. So there's no one computer that the federal government can zero in on and say, this is the Tornado Cash server, we're taking it. That doesn't exist. They also cannot stop Tornado Cash. Not only can they not seize the computer, because there is no...
I bet that makes them very mad.
Oh, yeah. So there is no the computer to seize in the first place. Not only that, but there's no one they can go to, put a gun to their head, because that's how they operate.
Yeah.
They cannot go to Roman Storm or Roman Semenov and put a gun to their head and say, press the stop button. We want this smart contract to stop operating right now. Sorry, we don't have the keys. We burned those in 2018 or whenever it was that they launched this thing. I don't know what year it was. So the best they can do is take these men...
Make an example out of them
and put them into a prison cell for the rest of their lives.
Really?
My situation, I mean, I'm facing, until this recent droppage of one of the charges against me, I was facing up to 70 years in federal prison. I'm still facing as many as, I think, 20. 20 is now the max for me.
Yeah, I'm not sure if we've even said that on the air, that a charge actually got officially dropped in
your
case,
right, yeah,
after the jury ruled on it. So that's
correct.
Pretty huge.
Yeah, and that we knew it was coming. It was announced by the judge 3 weeks ago, but it took him a few weeks to come out with what was a 35-page order on this. And it's on some other things, too. But, yes, one of the two worst charges against me in the Crypto 6 case, I faced 8 counts at trial, which was down from, 25. They dropped 17 charges before the trial. And then during the trial, I faced 8 counts, 2 of which were money laundering and money laundering conspiracy. The money laundering charge has been dropped, which was the one involving the undercover IRS agent who pretended like he was a heroin dealer and I refused to sell to him. But then he went to the Bitcoin vending machine anyway and bought crypto, and they called that money laundering. And the jury believed it. And the jury convicted me of it. But the judge threw it out after the fact, essentially saying that the prosecution hadn't proved its case on that one charge. He did not throw out the other 7 charges. So I'm still facing up to 20 years on just the one conspiracy to money launder count that still exists, which had nothing to do with the undercover agent. That had to do with they alleged that I was knowingly assisting these scam artists online, which is absolutely ridiculous. In fact, they had no evidence of that, and there never would be evidence because that wasn't true. But they instead went with this theory that is completely outrageous, the idea that I was quote-unquote willfully blind to what was going on, and that obviously isn't true because we did everything we could to stop the scams from happening and try to interdict them.
And you showed evidence of that in trial?
We showed evidence of that in trial, indeed, but that one still stands. So that's why I'm still facing a lot of time. So these guys are, I don't know, I haven't seen the indictments against them yet. But they are the two primary developers. There was one other guy that got arrested a year ago, and so they're not these aren't the only two. There was more than them. But it's been about a year since they arrested the first guy. They've been charged with money laundering and sanctions violations. Now, I suspect a sanction violation charge is also fairly serious.
This whole case is pretty well summed up like this. Naomi Brockwell, is that her name? Brockwell?
Yep, that's her.
She is a crypto person on the internet and also lives
here
in New
Hampshire. She's a free stater, yeah.
Yep, she's really cool and also really pretty. And you can find her on Twitter, Naomi Brockwell, and on YouTube and TikTok. She does videos just explaining stuff about operational security and just, like, crypto in general. And she said, should we also arrest Bill Gates if somebody was doing something illegal on a Windows computer?
Mm-hmm.
That's essentially what's happening here. These people who can't control what people do with this software, is that what you'd call it, that they created?
Yeah, it's software.
So they can't control what people are doing with the software that they created, and they can't even be involved in it if they wanted to. They're getting punished. So if somebody does something illegal on an iPhone, do the iPhone people get a warrant? Do they get put in jail?
All right, so here's their indictment, and those are all great points, Bonnie. Count one is conspiracy to commit money laundering, which I'm still facing personally. Count two, conspiracy to operate an unlicensed money transmitting business. Also, that's one they brought against me. Count three, conspiracy to violate the International Emergency Economic Powers Act.
Mm-hmm.
That's the sanctions violation charge.
Wait, is that saying that we're under an emergency right now, or is it just permanent?
There's a lot of people who will say that the United States has never been out of a state of emergency since, like, the 1930s.
Hmm.
That there's always been some new, quote-unquote, emergency. And so far, that's it. They've been hit with those three charges for this. We'll talk more about it coming up here, but let's go to the phones where we have Dave Ridley on the line. Go ahead, Ridley.
Yeah, I was, poking around looking at local government meetings to get ready to go do some interviews and ambush interviews of politicians.
Nice.
And I found something interesting in the town of Marlboro, which I didn't wind up actually going there.
Okay.
For logistical reasons. But it seemed like they're not announcing it, apparently not announcing on their website when their meetings are going to be. They say they're posting it at the post office and posting it at town hall.
Hmm.
But I could not find any indication that they're announcing it on their website. And I've never actually seen anything like that before in New Hampshire.
You've never seen
them not posting it on their website?
Correct. Apparently no calendar. It says, unless I'm missing something, it says on their website, quote, the Board of Selectmen has been holding meetings based on the availability of members. Meetings are posted at the town office and Marlboro post office, unquote.
Yeah, I don't know whether the law requires them to put it on the internet. That would be something worth looking into.
Actually, if you think about it, it probably doesn't.
Probably not, yeah.
Because, that would require somebody had done something recently to the law to make it show that.
Are you going to go?
They wouldn't have written it that way.
One of these, sorry.
Eventually, I may try to go, but how would I even know when the meeting's going to be? Like, I have to go there.
Right. You don't have wheels. You don't have a car that you can just drive over to the post office. Or
maybe you can call someone.
Town hall.
Yeah, I mean, I could call every week until they say, yes, we're finally having a meeting, or
right.
Whatever they say.
Maybe they can point you to a calendar. Maybe it's just not somewhere obvious. I don't know. But is that possible? Well, I guess we're already discussing it. It might be possibly legal, but probably not, because the law probably hasn't said anything about them putting it on a website.
Yeah, like I said, if I'm not missing something, that's the concern.
Gotcha. Anything else?
That is all.
All right, Ridley. Any thoughts on what's going on with BRICS? Have you been following that situation at all?
Well, I just know that it's an attempt to get rid of the monopoly status of the U.S. money, or make it stop being the dominant world reserve currency. I don't know anything else.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Ridley.
Did you decide? Have you decided anything else about your new channel? Starting back up your old channel.
Like, Ridley Report.
Have you decided where you're going to go first, or anything like that?
In terms of where to film.
Yeah, or like any ideas for a new video?
Keene, yeah. I was in Keene the last 2 days.
Nice.
Yeah, I made it to three Keene, City of Keene meetings. And
okay, great.
Was also able to follow up on some problems with Keene State College. In 2018, they kicked me out of a meeting of the city college commission, but like the city liaises with the college. And sometimes they meet at the college, sometimes they meet at the city. And this one was at the college. And when I tried to interview college officials coming and going, they immediately reported me.
Oh, yeah, I remember. They called security on you.
Wow.
Security in turn called the cops, and the cops told me to leave the campus.
Right, the campus that you pay for through tax dollars, the quote-unquote public campus, you weren't allowed to be there to simply record video and ask questions.
Yes. So anyway, I went back to ask them.
Very interesting.
Are those videos up?
No. Okay. It'll take a while to get them all up.
All right, cool. Looking forward to seeing it. Check him out at the Ridley Report. He's on both Odyssey and Rumble. Is that right?
RidleyReport.com, but it leads to that goes to BitChute.
Okay.
Rumble. One third of my video, one third of my files disappear when I try to put them on Rumble.
Oh, okay.
Like
screw that.
A logistical issue. It's not like they're doing anything to me. It's just for some reason the interface doesn't work. So I stopped using Rumble, and now it's just Odyssey.
So BitChute and Odyssey. Check out the Ridley Report.
Correct.
Thank you, Ridley, for the update. Appreciate the call tonight.
I'm excited to see
you. Yeah, I am too. It's been way too long, especially him doing a follow-up in Keene. That'll be fun.
Will you show me some of your favorite Ridley videos tonight? Because I remember me and Nikki were saying, like, oh, I want to watch one, but I
forgot about
that.
Oh, wow. I don't even know. I mean, there's been thousands. I mean, there's literally, I think, more than 1,000 Ridleyos out there.
I've only seen one Ridleyo.
He's so prolific. I think we'll just have to go and pull up the channel and see what's popular, because
yeah,
it would take forever to scroll through them all. Let's continue here. A little bit more about what's going on with the Tornado Cash developers. Two of them, one has been arrested. The other, I presume, is wanted wherever it is in the world that he happens to be.
Wow.
Roman Storm and Roman Semenov have been charged.
What a crazy name.
With money laundering, with
Roman Storm,
with always fun count of operation and unlicensed money transmitting business, or rather conspiracy.
So one of the Romans is still Roman.
Captain's
listening.
By the way, all of these charges are conspiracy charges. There's not a single charge on here of you actually did this thing. They're just saying we think you talked about doing something. Conspiracy to operate an unlicensed money transmitting business, conspiracy to commit money laundering, and finally, conspiracy to violate the International Emergency Economic Powers Act. That's the one that I'm trying to look up because obviously...
How can people be okay with the government going after people for and actually charging them with nothing but conspiracies? Like,
it happens all the time.
You're supposed to care about free speech in this country, but you don't mind that the government's going after people for just possibly talking about doing a thing?
I'm with you. The number here is 603-283-6160. You can join the show and bring up anything you want. Number 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
USA News Update. Former President Trump surrendered to authorities in the Georgia election case this evening.
Trump turned himself in at the Fulton County Jail. Trump agreed earlier this week to a $200,000 bond, and the agreement explicitly bars him from using social media to target co-defendants or witnesses. I'm Dave Collins.
Fulton County DA Fonnie Willis is pushing for an October 23rd start date for the trial, which Trump's legal team has reportedly been opposing. Trump's racketeering and conspiracy charges stem from his alleged attempts to overturn the 2020 election result in Georgia. Outrage is growing among some Maui wildfire survivors after national news reports aired images of FEMA workers staying in luxury hotels. FEMA representatives responded Wednesday saying reports of personnel staying in rooms that cost $1,000 per night are not true. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past 2 years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110. Guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. That's 800-430-1891.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live. You can join the show here. We're talking about Tornado Cash. We'll get in deeper into what it is and why the federal government hates it. They're arresting the developers, charging them with what looks like, at the moment, three counts, all conspiracy, quote-unquote, related counts, money laundering and violating sanctions that could result in up to 45 years in prison. And that's presuming they don't bring a subsequent indictment that will come later with more counts, which is what they did against the Crypto 6. And, by the way, Crypto 6 faced way more charges than these guys did initially, and they added even more after we didn't take the Aria and I didn't take the plea deal. Aria ended up taking a plea later on, and now she's serving 18 months in a federal prison. And, of course, as we get updates from her, we'll share them with you. But as I understand it, she's doing fairly well, all things considered in there. But we're going to go to your phone calls and thoughts here first before we talk more about what's going on with Tornado Cash developers, one of them getting snatched up just recently by the federal thugs. Let's first talk to Derek, calling from Nashville, Tennessee. Go ahead, Derek. You're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, guys. Hey. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to... I know that libertarianism, or what it means to be a libertarianism, is defined, in a few ways. Most normally the non-aggression principle, and I think, that's fine. But, I published the audiobook version of a book written by a Canadian professor, and the way he defines libertarianism is – broad group of people who seek the betterment of mankind by decreasing the scope of government and increasing the range of individual autonomy. What do you think of that definition?
I think that's great.
Seems like a fair definition to me.
Right. I mean, I, as a voluntarist, you know, so I would, according to that definition, I would consider myself a radical libertarian.
Mm-hmm.
Me too.
But it's kind of a big tent definition.
Yeah, that's the best way to put that. That is definitely a big tent definition that would define the entire libertarian movement. It would not, you know, fit the definition of a true libertarian or someone who is, you know,
a voluntarist
or an
anarchist. I like the idea because it doesn't exclude voluntarists either. Like some people say, libertarians are not anarchists. Well, in that definition that Derek just gave, well, yeah,
they're
No, they are, because I also want to shrink the influence of government, just shrink it to zero.
Mm. And that's, I think, why the Free State Project also wrote their statement of intent back when they had one. They don't anymore, I don't think. But when they had one, it was something to the effect of, I will move to New Hampshire and exert the maximum potential effort to reduce the government in size, scope, and
yeah, reach
something like that. Reduce it to its to the I don't know what the hell it was right now. It's not coming to me. But
fully, the scope of government is to defend
life, liberty, and property. Thank you. Yeah, it referenced that in some way. So that would have been the maximum scope of government under the Free State Project statement of intent. Which
again,
they
removed
tent.
It.
So I don't know. Would you guys agree that a minarchist could be, you know, properly defined as a libertarian?
I don't personally like to necessarily because I prefer the more principled terminology, but I mean, I get why people want to have a big tent. I don't reject the idea of welcoming people who don't quite get it on every issue quite yet, because I didn't in the very beginning. I didn't quite understand how the principle of non-aggression, which is what libertarians are purportedly basing their viewpoints on, I didn't understand how it applied on all issues, and I had to learn those things.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, it is definitely, you know, I wouldn't want to turn somebody away. I think that they could, you know, be in the Libertarian Party or whatever. But back in the day, the Libertarian Party, I don't know if they still have it. I think they do. There used to be a principle that you had to agree with to join the Libertarian Party, and that would be that you don't think that force or aggressive force should be used for political or social goals. So, I mean, that's a pretty principled statement.
And that's the only way the government does get anything done is by force. So,
yeah.
To me, it just kind of follows that you shouldn't believe in any. Like, a minarchist could be someone that believes in, oh, we should just have a military. But a minarchist could also be someone who thinks, oh, well, we should just have Social Security, you know, something that is going to be more objectionable to one person than the next person. Why should we use force to cover X when we could also just use it to cover everything? Why not cover it everything? I just don't think it's very defensible. I haven't really considered, like, do I consider them libertarians much? Just because I only really consider myself a libertarian in public. There's been plenty of times where I said, like, I was going to stop doing it, but go back to it because it's just, like, useful. Like, there are so many people that consider themselves libertarians now. Not so many, but there's, like, a lot more than there used to be. So it's useful for, like, being like, hey, I'm one of you. Now listen to me. And then I say the most, like, easy things, and then I hook them in, lasso them in with, we should get rid of the federal government and all government and actual anarchy. Or voluntarism.
So do you think that libertarian should be expanded, as Derek is asking, Bonnie?
What do you mean?
Should it have the wider definition, or should it be a more narrow definition of someone who only...
I don't think there's anything wrong with that definition. Like I said, like, it leaves open the door for anarchy, but it, you know, also is vague enough to where a lot of people will be like, oh, yeah, I agree with that.
What do you think, Derek?
Well, it's just interesting to me that, you know, several people I know who are, you know, have podcasts or sort of public figures have made the journey from minarchism to voluntarism or anarcho-capitalism.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you take those libertarian principles and you follow them to their logical conclusion. And it's pretty astonishing, you know, somebody like Jack Spierko or Mike Meharry. I don't know if you guys are familiar with them.
Yeah, I've met Jack in the past at Free State Project events.
Yeah, I mean, he used to be a constitutionalist.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I was just blown away when he finally, like, came out of the closet as a voluntarian.
When did that happen?
Like, nice.
Ah, shoot. I can't remember how many years ago.
Yeah, it's been some time, though, right? I recall it's been a while.
Yeah, but...
What's his podcast? Isn't it the Survivalist podcast?
The Survival Podcast.
The Survival Podcast. Yeah, good. I'm glad to hear it. Now he just needs to move to New Hampshire.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to make my way up there, too.
All right.
That'd be awesome.
Cool. Well, Derek, thanks for calling in tonight. I appreciate the question. I appreciate the call. The number here is 603-283-6160. I'm of the belief that libertarian should essentially be another term for voluntarist. I think that that's what it should be. I understand that's not what it is.
Yeah.
And I don't really care enough to try to serve, you know, like,
it's just
save
silly.
It.
If you say that you agree with the non-aggression principle, okay, do you apply that to everything? Why wouldn't you?
You should, in which case, then, you're, in my opinion, you're a libertarian. If you are a liberty-leaning person, meaning that you agree with us more often than you disagree with us, I would say, welcome. Here's a book. You know, here's something you can read about that will help enlighten you on the issues that you don't currently understand, that you currently believe that the government would somehow help, that the government could somehow make better or whatever. Here's some resources for you. Please let me know if you have any questions. I'm happy to talk to you about this. I would be happy to say that those people are libertarian on certain issues. I'll give them that. You agree with the libertarians on ending the war on drugs. Great. You agree with the libertarians on bodily freedoms. Awesome. You agree with libertarians on getting rid of the U.S. military going all around the world or whatever. Fantastic. But on the issues on which you're saying you want the government involved, you're not libertarian.
Yeah.
And you don't get to claim to be a libertarian. Vivek Ramaswamy, does he claim to be libertarian?
I don't know if he does, but people always are trying to claim that he's libertarian.
Okay. I have not heard that claim even from his supporters. I have heard them say that they like him and they like a lot of the things he says.
I saw just today somebody saying he's the most
really?
Libertarian.
Oh,
so
that's
it's probably like what you're saying, like he's per
right.
Or whatever.
And being the most libertarian of the Republican presidential candidates could still mean that you're only libertarian on 30% of the issues. Because they're that bad. Anyway, the number here is 603-283-6160. Let's go to the phones here. Caller, you're on Free Talk Live. What's your name?
Chris.
Chris, you're on the air. Where are you calling from?
Yeah, I called the other night from Owensboro, Kentucky.
Welcome, sir.
Yeah. Anyhow, you were talking about a currency, like another form of trading money. I guess what, that tornado currency?
Tornado Cash isn't its own currency. It is a mixing service for the Ethereum cryptocurrency.
Okay, because in Evansville, Indiana, it's been some years, might have been the early 2000s, there was a fella, he had this thing called Liberty Currency.
Liberty Dollar.
Liberty Dollar, yeah. And the government went insane over that one.
Oh,
and
yeah,
they even sent the Secret Service to his location, invaded there, and he had a place in Hawaii, and they went there, too.
Mm-hmm.
And they shut his place down, and he went through the federal system, and they took care of him, and that was the last we heard of him.
Well, okay, so I'll give you an update on that case. We followed it very closely here. I think it was actually 2007, if I recall correctly, because it was on the run-up to the Ron Paul campaign, and they had created the Ron Paul Liberty Dollar, which had Ron Paul's bust on it, right? And they had, like, a copper version.
I think they call it a profile, right?
Silver version and gold and platinum. They had all these different Ron Paul things. And they had just gotten them in to the facility there. They were getting ready to do a major
campaign. That was the final straw
campaign
for the government.
And the federal government came into their offices and came into the mint
and where they had they stored I don't know how many millions of dollars worth of precious metals, and they just took it all.
Terrible.
And they charged him with quote unquote counterfeiting, and the jury convicted him in that case. Luckily, he did not he did not go to prison. He got some level of probation in that particular case. But it was stupid, Bonnie, because the Liberty Dollar, had you ever seen it, and if I had some, I would show them to you, but the feds took them when they raided the house back in 2021 here. They took all the gold and silver that we had. They didn't just take the Liberty Dollar.
Did you have a Ron Paul one?
I don't know if I had one of those, but they're very, very beautiful pieces. You can find images of them online, but it was very clear that they were not government money. First of all, they're actually silver. But secondly, it had like a phone number on it and a website on it.
But they claimed that it was just because they used the word dollar.
That was one of the claims, yeah, because they used the word
Canadians
dollar.
Canadians call their money dollars all the time, and they're not dollars.
Well, they're Canadian dollars. So anyway, the update is he thankfully didn't go to prison. He had some level of probation. He, I think, is... I don't know if he's still in Hawaii these days. His son has apparently... what is his son's name? His son's got like this hippie name, and I don't remember what it is. But his son has launched a new Liberty Dollar, which is backed, or it is a cryptocurrency. It's actually on the Ethereum network, which we were just talking about, and it's backed by silver. So there's still things that are involving the Liberty Dollar that still kind of exist out there. But you're absolutely right. They totally just destroyed his business, which, by the way, at the time was the country's largest alternative currency.
Gotcha. Because that's why the government. I know that's why they do what they do, and one of the reasons we went into Iraq was what Saddam was going to do. He was going to get away from the American dollar.
Is Saddam saying?
That's what they say.
Oh, yeah.
That was the main reason. And they weren't going to let him do any oil changes in rubles or anything with the Chinese currency or anybody else.
What were you going to say, Bonnie?
It says that the guy's name is Extra.
Extra, that's it, yeah.
That's crazy. His name is Extra von Nothaus.
Yeah, and as far as I know, he's still out there doing things. I believe Bernard von Nothaus was the founder of the Liberty Dollar, and he is fully retired at this point. I mean, he was pretty old when I met him at the Free State Project Liberty Forum more than a decade ago. So imagine he's enjoying. He's enjoying his retirement. Did you ever get a chance to get any Liberty Dollars?
No, I never did get into that type of currency.
How long did they exist before they got raided?
They were founded, I believe, in 1998, so about 9 years.
Wow.
Yeah, he had a full shop and everything. He had some other stuff there, too, in Evansville. And then it was on TV and made national news and everything. And it was a federal case.
Kentucky?
Yeah, they also raided his place in Hawaii. Yeah, it's where Don Mattingly is from, played baseball for the Yankees, and if you follow the 72 Dolphins, the quarterback, Bob Greasy, he's from there.
We're actually on the air in Evansville. It's on the sister station. You probably already know this, but you're listening, I presume, on WOMI there in Owensboro?
Yes, 99.1.
Excellent. Thank you for being a radio listener. And we are on WGBF in Evansville, which is one of their sister stations. And we're actually on, I think, every single day, which is absolutely fantastic.
Yes, you are. That's how I listen to you and on WMI and then WGBF.
Well, let me give you some other good news. There's a new thing that has come out. The feds, thankfully, have not raided them. Hopefully that will not happen. But it's called the Goldback. For people who are really interested in being able to spend real precious metals as money, the Goldback is probably the most exciting thing since the Liberty Dollar. Maybe, I think, even more exciting than the Liberty Dollar.
I think so, too, just because I like gold more. And
gold
it's the first
so
thing
pretty.
That makes gold this divisible because it's they take 1/1000th of an ounce of gold and spray it in a thin layer onto this plastic, this polymer, and it's in a pretty design, and it looks like a bill, and it's, you can spend
it's
it, it's
wallet.
Worth about $4 if it's in your wallet,
yep.
And it can't be counterfeited easily because it's a really unique technology they use.
Yeah, it's really awesome. It's amazingly beautiful. I highly recommend people check this out. Go to goldback.com. They're not a sponsor of the show, but I'm a big fan of what Goldback has been doing. They have been at the Porcupine Freedom Festival. They were at Freedom Fest as the major sponsors of those events in the last couple of years. They're really taking off. They don't even have to advertise. They literally do zero advertising. And it is just the word of mouth of people that is getting a word out about this.
Because it's so cool, because you couldn't spend 1/1000th of an ounce of gold before the gold back, because it would just be a grain, you know, like a grain of sand or something, maybe a little
very
bigger.
Small. Very,
but
very small.
So small that it'd be hard to tell what it is. It wouldn't be able to have any markings on
it. You'd lose it.
Yep.
It would just fall right out of your, you know, whatever you were trying to hold it in. So definitely check it out, because it makes gold actually spendable.
Yep.
And as you said, Bonnie, it's 1/1000th of an ounce. They have different denominations, but that's the smallest one. And it's just super fun to tip people with them, give them as gifts, and especially if you can actually find businesses to accept them, which many of them are in Utah and Nevada.
You can convince people, to accept them, because they can understand immediately, like, oh, this has value. It's gold. But, caller, one thing that's interesting about goldbacks that makes me hopeful is, since they're issued in Utah, I don't think that the feds will raid them, because Utah has a law that they can, that gold is acceptable currency.
Here's the other thing. One of the first questions I asked, because when I was at Freedom Fest in 2019 and I met Jeremy Corden, who's the founder of Goldback, one of the first things I asked him in that interview was, are you familiar with what happened to the Liberty Dollar? Because my first concern was, oh, the feds are just going to come take all your stuff, just like they did with Liberty Dollar. And he said, yes, he was very familiar with Liberty Dollar, and he had researched that excessively, and they made sure to not make the same mistakes. That's why the word dollar does not appear anywhere on the gold back. There's nothing on that gold back that uses the same language that anything regarding federal currency
here
does.
What Bernard von Nothaus got charged with, it says, for making coins resembling and similar to the United States coins, of issuing, passing, selling, and possessing Liberty Dollars, and of issuing, passing, and selling Liberty Dollars coins intended for use as currency money.
It's crazy that those are even charges.
Conspiracy against the United States. He was facing 22 years in prison, but he only got 3 years of probation.
Yeah. So there you go. Anything else you want to share tonight?
Well, my job takes me right by or on the edge of Fort Knox.
Okay.
So I get to, if I turn left on Highway 60 to go to Louisville, if I turn right, it'll take me right by the gold. I can see the top of the gold reserve building.
Yeah, but you can't see if there's any gold in it.
Yep, I wonder if there is.
No, I cannot. I work for a railroad, and it's interesting. We have our own police force and everything. So,
well, hey, thanks for the call tonight. I appreciate you bringing up Liberty Dollar. It is an instructive and historic thing that people, they shouldn't forget about it. And if they don't know about it, they ought to look into it. Thanks for the call, man. I appreciate that. The number here is 603-283-6160. So we were talking about alternatives to the government money system. They really don't like these things. They don't like cryptocurrency. They don't like the Liberty Dollar. I'm sure they don't like the gold back. They just haven't figured out a way to attack it yet. And they sure don't like Tornado Cash. They've charged Roman Storm and Roman Semenov with money laundering.
I think since the very beginning of the show, I haven't really learned what Tornado Cash is from you yet.
It's a
contract.
Mixer.
Okay.
So it is it's a contract. It's a smart contract that mixes people's Ethereum, and I presume Ethereum tokens, together with other people's Ethereum. Let's just presume it's
for
just
privacy,
Ethereum.
So that way
for
they
privacy
get,
sake, yes.
So you put some in, you get the same amount back, but it's new
minus
ones.
Minus a fee, probably.
Probably.
But I don't know where the fee would go, so I don't know. Maybe there isn't a fee. But there's certainly the gas fee that you would have to pay. Like I said, I've never used it, so I don't know anything about how it actually works. But they allege, the federal government is alleging, that North Korea has used this mixer. And so, therefore, it's a violation of sanctions, is what they're saying, right?
I think sanctions are a violation of human rights.
Absolutely. But they take this sanction crap real serious-like, and they're charging these guys. over this. The mixer obscures or obfuscates the origin of funds that are transacted through it. It was sanctioned last year by the U.S. Treasury Department's Office of Foreign Asset Control after allegations that Lazarus, which is an alleged hacking group in North Korea, had laundered funds from multiple crypto hacks through it. OFAC sanctioned Roman Semenov as well on Wednesday, alongside eight Ethereum addresses he allegedly controls. In a statement, U.S. Attorney Damian Williams said Tornado Cash and its operators, quote, knowingly facilitated, unquote, money laundering. He said, while publicly claiming to offer a technically sophisticated privacy service, Storm and Semenov in fact knew they were helping hackers and fraudsters conceal the fruits of their crimes. Hmm. Today's indictment is a reminder that money laundering through cryptocurrency transactions violates the law.
I hate when the government accuses people of crime that they could only be proven if you could read the person's thoughts.
They're going to claim they have some evidence, I guess, of this. But, in my case, they had zero evidence of these things, so who knows?
Right.
And they say they're...
And that's usually what they do. They just try to convince the jury to believe what they believe.
The tough talk continues. He says, and those who engage in such laundering will face prosecution. In a statement, Brian Klein of Waymaker, an attorney for Storm, said the case hinged on a novel legal theory. He says, we're incredibly disappointed that prosecutors chose to charge Mr. Storm because he helped develop software, and they did so based on a novel legal theory with dangerous implications for all software developers.
Right.
Mr. Storm has been cooperating with the prosecutor's investigation since last year. Oh, no. Looks like that didn't help him, huh?
Right.
And disputes that he engaged in any criminal conduct. There's a lot more to the story that will come out at trial.
And is there any sort of timeline about when the trial would happen?
I mean, you knew how long it took with Crypto 6, so
a long time.
I figure it's going to be at least a year out. The government sanctions against Tornado Cash, which began last year, have highlighted how difficult it can be to completely shut down a decentralized service. Programmers have borrowed from Tornado Cash's open source code to spawn new programs with similar functionality. So again, even if they could shut it down, the code is already out there. So we're going to keep an eye on this particular story as it is an out-and-out attack against privacy, which is, of course, what they said in my trial, is that supporting privacy means you are supporting criminals.
Right.
I mean, that's basically what they said. They had no evidence of it, but that's what they said, and the jury bought it. We'll see you tomorrow night. Online, in the meantime, you can join us at freetalklive.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally, and it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Every day we take steps to keep the people we love safe, but some health risks are easy to miss. Ticks hiding in the yard can spread germs that can cause Lyme disease and Rocky Mountain spotted fever. Mice searching for sources of food can spread bacteria and disease. Mosquitoes breed in standing water and can transmit illnesses like West Nile virus and Zika virus. Cockroaches are drawn to water in the home and can leave behind allergens that trigger asthma attacks. Stinging insects attack in defense of their nests and send more than 500,000 people to the emergency room every year. Household pests are a threat to our health. Learn what you can do to protect your family at pestworld.org.